The reality is that the Deen of Islam that came about in the Prophet of Allah's time has today now been somewhat hijacked, as all of you know. And the principles of that very Deen, where blood was shed for that Deen, where work was done for that Deen, where people sacrificed everything they had for that Deen now today has become something else. The image has changed. We live in a very difficult era right now. It's a very stressful era right now. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're fed up, you feel a little bit hopeless, and you're wondering for some direction. Start with the person in the mirror. Ask yourself, have I become complacent? Have I become spiritually lazy? I'm trying to paint a little bit of a picture here for all of you of where we are right now, which has already been prophesied centuries ago. The companions are sitting there around the Holy Prophet. He says to the companions, that can you imagine that your wives and your children will commit sin openly? They were shocked. They say, Ya Rasulullah, will that actually happen? He says, it will actually be worse than that. There'll come a time where your spouses and your children will be encouraged to commit sin. They were again shocked. Ya Rasulullah, will this happen? He said, there'll come a time where what is considered to be virtuous will become vicious, and what was considered to be vicious will become virtuous. Do we not live in that era today? Are we not here right now? Do we not live in an era of the glamorization of sin? Where this era of social media, I'm not against social media, I'm on social media, but the idea is that sometimes these types of tools allow us to give us this courage for us to announce and confess our sin openly, take pictures of ourselves in areas we shouldn't be at, and not only take that picture, but plaster it all over our social media and then wait for someone to comment on it. Or I've seen individuals who their Facebook status is the latest hip-hop song that they like. Check this link out, and they actually share the link for the world to see. And in this era of the glamorization of sin, what is our duty? Look at a couple of traditions from our holy prophets to understand what era we live in now. He's sitting amongst the companions. He says, "Ma ta'alqa ikhwani, when will I meet my brothers?" They say, "Qalu alasna ikhwani, are we not your brothers?" He says, "Bal antum ashabi." No, you're my ashab. He says, "Wa ikhwani alladhina amanu bi wa lam yarawni wa ana ilayhim bil ashwaq." The brothers that I refer to are those who believe in me, they have iman in me, they have faith in me, they will die for me, sacrifice for me, they love me, have compassion for me, wa lam yarawni, they haven't seen me. And when you look inside the shar of this hadith, he's talking about those who will reside and exist before the arrival of the Mahdi. That's you and I. Our sixth imam, again, sitting amongst his ashab, he says that how many of you, this is now our sixth imam asking his ashab, how many of you will be willing to hold a cactus in their hand? He says the era before the arrival of my son, the preservation and protection of the iman of our followers will be as difficult as holding a cactus in the palm of your hand. All of us, alhamdulillah, have our deen, we have our iman, we have our faith. It should be solid. Where we are lacking, where there is a distance, where there has to be somewhat of a discussion, is in this era when there is a constant attack on our faith. What do we need to do? There has to be two parallel missions. One is of the increasing of dhulm and tyranny and oppression. And one, of course, is the building of the ashab of our imam. If he needs an enemy to fight, he needs companions to be beside him while he fights. And his zuhur will not happen until both parties and paths are ready. The dhalameen, the oppressors, are doing their parts, unfortunately. Are we doing our parts to build that army that he needs? If not, what are those factors that blocks our spiritual progress? One of them is called spiritual complacency. You see, we are creatures of habit. We are people of routine. When you have your 9-to-5 job, you have a routine, a certain bedtime, a certain time you're arising, a certain route to work, the same parking spot in the workplace, the same cubicle at work, the same password for everything that you have, the same morning coffee, the same hello Joe, hello Frank, hello Tom in the morning, the exact time, the same log off, the same route home. You come home, you freshen up, you have dinner, you have salad, and we have this routine. And it's great. I mean, that's part of the process. We are creatures of habits. We live on routine. And sometimes the problem is this, that routine nature of ours, that habitual nature of ours trickles into our ibadahs, into our worship. Where now we are worshiping Allah, which was at one moment possibly for our spiritual uplifting and our mi'raj towards Allah, our ascension, but then it becomes part of the process, part of the habitual nature of ours. We're doing things out of routine. The sincerity slowly fades away, the act remains. And in the process, we convince ourselves, the amounts that I do for the deen of Islam is enough. I know people who are far worse than me. I know people who don't even pray salat. I know those who don't even come to these programs. And we fall into traps. And the traps that we fall into are prisons that we create for ourselves. One prison is what? I'm in the West, Maulana. Don't ask me to do anything more. This is not Iraq, it's not Karbala, Najaf, it's not Qom, it's not Mashhad. Our test, our fitna will happen here eventually as well. Don't let your guard down for a moment. The fact that after high school, I'm not a drug addict, I'm not a father, I'm not an inmate, I'm not an alcoholic, that's, to me, is success. And that's the bar for us. That's the bar for us. And then we set the bar so low that when we reach that bar, we relax at that moment. We're good. Mulana, forget the fact that it's enough. It's good enough, man. I'm good for heaven. You become complacent. What's called spiritual laziness. The Ahl Qusal in the world of the Quran. They rise up for their salat. The Quran says they rise up as if they are the people who are lazy, as if they are doing God a favor by praying salat. And we convince ourselves that what I'm doing is good. And sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God has something else planned for you. God actually has hope in you to be somebody greater. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, the Quran says. We honored the human being. We took him from the land to the sea. We gave him rizq from those that are tayyib, that are pure. We gave them fadila, distinction above every other creation out there. You lower yourself down to the level of these minimal qualities and say, look, at least I'm not that, I'm good. And you've taken God's potential inside of you and you've washed it away. We've become spiritually complacent as individuals. This revolution that the Imam needs, this movement that the Ummah needs, we're thinking about things on the Ummah level, and then on the community level, and then on the family level. I'm saying forget all that, start with the individual level. That's why if you look at the revolution of the Islamic Republic, the reason why it is so successful is because of what? The fact that the late and the great Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh, he built first on the individual basis. Otherwise, that nation, and during those days, there was no umid and no hope that they would have such a revolution. He built the awareness of the people to such a level over years and years of tarbiyah and nature and nurture and everything. And then when they were ready, he would then say, come out of your homes and face the Shah of your time.